Petalinum.
Now, Petalinum, welcome to this edition of That's the Spirit. Are you going to give us a bit of a recap on this counter-terrorism conference you attended?
Yes, which I was standing outside the door of before when we last talked, was it? Mm-hmm. Yes.
What was the security like, just right off the bat, at the counter-terrorism?
The security was tight.
Okay.
Really?
Because, I mean, a lot of high-level government officers as well as crown ministers.
And BFM contributors as well.
Persons, so. Yes, they were all, you know, very anxious about themselves. I had no security personally provided for me, which was disappointing. Well, but I guess the head of police was available, so he would have stepped in.
You obviously look like you can handle yourself. So
that's obviously the case, yeah. Actually, it was a huge conference. I mean, there were 350 people.
Oh,
there.
Wow, okay.
But there was certainly a very strong presence at the Christchurch Town Hall. But as you would have seen probably the features on TV and on you probably talked about it, the astonishing events that took place on the Tuesday of the conference.
Juliet Moses has taken a stab at some Muslims.
That's right, yes.
So taken a swipe.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a poor choice of words.
Yeah. Yep.
It was a very interesting moment. I mean, the curious thing was, I mean, I've been sitting talking to some other members of the Jewish Council. In fact, I went out for a drink with Professor Paul Morris on the Monday night, and we had quite a long chat about some of these aspects.
Mm.
And I talked with other members of the Jewish Council because, you know, they were there. It's curious, actually. There were probably more Jews there than there were representatives of Christian churches, which is a curious.
Wow.
If there were any representatives of Christian churches, I'm not sure.
Now, Peter, can you just give us a quick summary of exactly what happened? Obviously, you were there, so explain how it unfolded.
Yeah, so it was a panel. Each session was divided up into panels of various people who gave 10-minute talks with recommendations. The very strong focus of the was not on the past events of March 15th, 2019. In fact, very little focus on that, except on the morning of Wednesday, the Muslim women of Christchurch who were survivors gave an account to those who attended. I didn't make it, I have to say, because it was 7:45 to 8:15 on a cold Christchurch morning, so I took my time and had breakfast instead. But all government servants were required to attend that session, interestingly. But for the most part, it was talking of strategies to deal with counter-terrorist threats that might emerge now.
This is kind of a look at, was it white supremacy and how people behave online?
Well, there was an element of that on the Wednesday, but, I mean, primarily they were looking at events which might spur a counter-terrorist attack in New Zealand and what might be the motivations and how to prepare for it.
Mm.
So it was pretty much dominated by security service, police and academics who knew about the area of security. And actually, on this particular session, they were looking at the social backgrounds that lead to insecurity.
Right.
And my former boss, Paul Spoonley, was giving gave a short address, for example. Mm. And, you know, it was a group of academics on that session. And the Jewish council person appeared to be sort of tacked on to the end of it. She didn't seem to have much that was relevant in terms of the social context. But she's a smart barrister. Actually, lives extremely near me. And she, though I don't know her, she chose the opportunity to very carefully point to, and she chose her words with care and repeated them twice, lest there been any misunderstanding, that why were the people who were on a march in Auckland in 2018 supporting Hamas and the Hezbollah, that's the Lebanese insurgency group, both funded by Iran incidentally, and both listed by New Zealand as terrorist organisations, why were the people who marched in support of them in Auckland in 2019 allowed to get away with it and not listed?
Right.
Actually, we don't know that they weren't listed. But she, and I'm not sure it was a big march, but the moment she said the words, and she probably, the year 2018 was at the tail end of the statement. And listening to the recording again, I realized that people started walking out before she'd finished the statement.
Mm.
So it was very clear, and it was just individuals from all over the room, though whether it was orchestrated, I'm sure they were on there. They were alert to what she might say. I was in the front row. We were all sitting around tables. And there were, there's a significant Muslim presence at the conference. And one voice cried out, 3,000 died. And somebody else said, free Palestine. And then somebody said, no, 300 died. And so they were obviously talking about the situation of the Palestinians in the most recent strife with Israel a month ago. They were clearly interpreting it in that way. But there's no doubt about it that she was goading them. You know, I mean, it was a provocative remark repeated twice, very carefully after the march, and that further led to others to storm out.
Is that the sort of appropriate form of protest if you don't like what someone's saying at a conference like that? Is that how it works? I've never been to a conference like that.
For a conference like this, you see, it was a funny mixed bag of people.
Right.
There were a lot of government officials present, very high government officials, and it wouldn't have been appropriate for any of them to have done that, of course.
Right.
There were a lot of academics there, and I don't think any of them walked out. I certainly didn't feel inclined to walk out, but I felt inclined to, you know.
Was there a question time? Yeah, what did you ask? Yeah.
There were some questions, but effectively that issue was evaded.
Right.
And because, in fact, it was quite curious because there then followed a scurrying of people backwards and forwards, including the chair of session being pulled out, trying, obviously negotiating with the 10 or 15 people who had walked out.
Right.
And see, these were mostly people, Muslim community from Christchurch, who walked out, I think.
Mm. What was the general mood after Juliet Moses' remarks? Was the consensus that they were unnecessary?
Yes, I think certainly the people I talked to, and I mean, you can imagine that was very much the focus of discussion a great deal, was troubled by the lack of wisdom of the remarks, however true they were, and I'm sure they were true. And secondly, wondering if we were trying to... see, the complexity is you're trying to build a community sense, and some of the people there have come along as representatives, not of the government, or even to advise the government, as presumably the academics were invited to do, but as a reflection of popular sentiment. Well, they had no particular reason to want to back that statement.
Mm.
And I think it's probably fair to say that within within the Muslim community, there is, as there is in general in New Zealand, a lot of sympathy for the imbalance of power between the Palestinians and the Israelis.
It's interesting that you say what she said might have been true, but obviously just time and place was poorly chosen, perhaps?
Yes.
Right.
Well, I believe so, and I think... I went back and talked to Paul Morris, and he said he'd had this. I was the 15th person to ask him. So he's the retired professor of religious studies at Victoria University.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, Peter, it's a common... We have a lot of discussions, the Jewish Council, with the Muslim, with Fianz, the Muslim Council. And he said, whenever they're unhappy, they always stage a walkout. But they always come back.
Right.
I think it probably is reflective of a culture where really Muslims are a compound of many, many different groups, and relatively few contemporary issues unite them. But the Palestine issue does tend to unite Arabs. And, of course, it unites a lot of other people who feel sympathy for the Palestinians and their terrible plight.
Mm.
And if ever there was an imbalance of power, you know, that was it. But the the other interesting thing that Paul Morris said to me is that, in fact, over the last 20 years, the Jewish Council has had excellent relationships with the ANZ, the Muslim body, and that there's a lot of talking goes on between the two bodies. And if you look back at the history, if you extract Israel from the quotient of what you're talking about, you know, Arabs and Jews have a lot of common history. And, you know, Jews had lived, those that had not been chased out of Palestine by the Crusaders, and then from the Muslims, lived in Palestine alongside their Arab neighbors. And in a lot of places, Arabs and Jews have got along reasonably well.
Yeah, I sometimes look at it like a gang mentality. Like, if the people didn't have like a blanket that they're all under, they probably, like when you see two opposing viewpoints and then you see the kids of those people and they're just mucking around playing, they have no idea. It's when you see moments like that, you're like, shit, man, we need to just kind of like drop the ideals sometimes and just look at the simplicity of human life and just go, you know, we're all just people.
The commonality.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yes,
and we're all humans, and guys, come on. Mm.
This is
a lot of it's taught, obviously, you know, when you see kids.
These are noble sentiments. The difficulty is when contemporary political issues intrude themselves. And, you know, it's another interesting question whether if you marched in support of a banned organization, ought you to be regarded as a security risk in New Zealand?
Mm.
You see, and that's kind of what she was demanding to know. Mm. In other words, she was saying there was a disproportion that the New Zealand is leaning over backwards to be friendly to Muslims at a time when there is an equal security risk from Muslims and from, especially right-wing nationalists. Mm. And, well, I think the truth of the matter is that our security services are well aware of security threats from all over the place, and they can't afford to be selective on political grounds of who they favour and who they don't.
Right.
And yet when there's an ongoing tension between ethnic groups or religious groups or the like, I mean, that can easily spill out into civil disobedience. It was very interesting because the Wednesday of the conference, we walked through a scenario in groups,
right,
where we considered, and it was carefully chosen as a non-religious or ethnic controversy. This was a set-up scenario which was fed to us in drips, and I deliberately say drips because the scenario was of a movement that was convinced that tap water was poisoned. And they were called the bottlers because they believed that you shouldn't ever drink tap water. And
that's a real thing for some people, actually.
Well, I can believe it would be. And you see, in the scenario, the risk mounts up and up, step by step. And what we're being asked is, when should the security services intervene and how?
Hmm.
And they're clearly trying to get buy-in to what would, in the normal sense, be a breach of the civil rights of people who have every right to think whatever crazy ideas they want to think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want a society which says only the things we say are true can be allowed to be held. But on the other hand, if somebody in that movement is, and they reported that there'd been a killing somewhere in Europe by the same group, so should they then target anybody who showed aspirations in this direction?
Mm.
And then you see the final step was that when a schoolboy, still at school, appears wearing a T-shirt supporting the radical fringe of this movement, do you step in, and what on earth do you do to a schoolboy who picks up these ideas?
Mm.
So, you know, disputes, religious disputes and ethnic disputes are only some of the challenges. And of course, since the Trump era, we've got a whole basis for a powerful new right-wing movement all around the world, I guess. And I think it's going to be very difficult to protect our civil rights in these contexts.
Yeah, and try to keep everything under wraps or under control.
Exactly.
I mean, there's always going to be some crazies, you know, in every realm.
There are.
All right, Peter, that was a particularly enlightening That's the Spirit. We thank you for your time this evening, and we'll check in with you next Monday.
Look forward to it.
Kia ora, mate.
Bye.